It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Seven 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day. It is a Monday, which means we kick things off by going right out to the Smart Rain guest line and welcoming in BYU offensive lineman James Empey, kind enough to join us. James, how are you?
Hey, James.
Doing good this morning. How you boys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Love hearing the positivity in your voice. I know the loss is never easy. Kind of walk us through that. That's a big boy football team you guys played, and kind of shows where this team needs to be when they get into the Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, credit to Baylor. They came out ready to go. They, you know, had a good game plan, and they did a lot of good things. And, you know, we came up short, and we're going to have to figure out a way to keep going and move on and get better this week.
Take us in the locker room after this game went final, James. What's the morale of the team? What was Kalani Sitake's message to the team? And how are you all feeling kind of united as a team?
Yeah, well, I mean, locker room-wise, after a game and, you know, after a loss, you know, I mean, you've been there, Hans. It's there's probably a lot of emotions, you know, lots of how to describe it. Just like, you know, guys are bummed, but, you know, I think everybody's smart enough that, you know, we got to look at the film and get better and kind of ride the highs and lows. You know what I mean? So I think guys are in good spirits. I think we're taking these opportunities to learn and get better. And, you know, that's what we have to do to move forward. So just, you know, guys are bummed, but I think we'll, you know, when we get to the facility today, we'll be ready to take a look at the tape, ready to learn what we need to learn and move forward. Cause you know, you can't take any time off. We got big games every week, especially this week. You know, we're going up to Washington State. They've been doing good the last few weeks, and you know, they're a team that plays really hard. So, you know, we gotta learn fast, and we gotta move on and see what we can do to prepare for this week.
So I know you can't, and won't get into overly specific on injuries, but I guess overall, how are you feeling, and how's the health of that offensive line?
You know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling healthy. And you know, guys that have been out, they're recovering well. We just, you know, we can't wait to have, you know, everybody back. In terms of everybody that played, we're, you know, bumps and bruises like football does, but you know, I think everybody's doing all right. And, you know, I think we got the right people in the room. I think we got the right people in the right spots, and we just got to put it together. And, you know, in terms of offensive line play, we have a long ways to go, but, you know, we love the challenge and we're working our butts off to get there.
James, I know that front takes a lot of pride in their ability to run a football and get some yards on the ground. I saw that Algier had 15 carries and Lopini Katoa didn't have any carries, and the run game was really limited. Was that a scheme? Did you guys go into this game thinking, well, we're going to try to go more through the air? Because Jaren Hall set a through-the-air record for himself, which was fantastic, 342 yards, but not a lot of ground yards. Was that kind of part of the scheme going into this game against Baylor?
Well, Hans, like you said, we do take a lot of pride in that, and we definitely came up short this last week. I think Baylor, they had a great plan, and they kept us, you know, kind of bottled up. They do a good job up front, and they got players that play hard, and they were really schemed up, and we weren't executing enough to be able to run the ball, and you know, that hurt us in the game. You got to be able to run the football better. And but the good thing, like the positive is our receivers just played out of their minds, and Jaren was putting the ball where it needed to be, and we were able to move the ball in the air, and you know, that's exciting football. So, you know, we need to get better at running the ball, but, you know, I was happy with the way our receivers played and how Jaren played, and you know, we were still able to get the ball moving a little bit despite the run. And so if we can get the run game going again, I think you know, offensively we'll be in better shape. And you know, that's on us. We gotta get our you know, get back to work and get things rolling again.
So I know you'd been preparing for it all week, but was it still weird seeing Coach Grimes and Coach Mateo over there on that other sideline?
I wouldn't say it was weird. It was good to see those guys. You know, I'm glad they're doing well. That's, you know, those are former coaches. That's you know, people in your life that, you know, have coached you up and made a difference. So it's good to see them. What wasn't weird at all. You know, glad that their team's doing good, but you know, we need to take a step in the right direction this week and get things rolling.
You know, you were talking about the remaining schedule, and you were talking about how just every week it just seems like another challenge. And I was looking at how physical this season has been, and all the teams that you guys have played, very, very difficult schedule to this point. And you have a bye week that's coming up in about 4 weeks, but it's still a minute away. How tough has it been to not have a bye week, or do you even think about that? I don't remember specifically thinking about it, James, but I'm looking at this season thinking, man, they could have really used a bye week maybe between Utah State and Boise State, or at least Boise State and Baylor. How tough has that been to not have that week to recover?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, Hans, probably a lot like you. I don't even notice it all that much, and you know, just from teammates and stuff. I don't know if they do as well, because you know, your schedule is your schedule, and you control what you control, and so I think you just go week to week and prepare your best to play the next game and try to respect everybody you play and get things rolling. And in terms of bye weeks, I mean, I can see how they, you know, they help a team with rest and with, you know, recovery and getting people back and all that stuff. But, you know, I think, I don't know if there's a lot of focus on that, because we have this awesome, fun schedule with great teams on it. And, you know, we're just focused on the next week.
You know, it's interesting, and I really appreciate this mindset you have, because you're not excuse guy. You're not like, hey, you know, we haven't had a bye week, or the injuries have piled up, or anything along those lines. I mean, it's just like, hey, look, we got some issues. We're going to fix it. We're going to get out there, and we're going to stay positive and get our job done. Is that how you've been your whole life? Does that come from your dad? I mean, where does that come from? Because it's really impressive.
I'd say, you know, it probably comes from a lot of things, but especially in our culture, you know, with the BYU football team, we're all about love and learning, and all about loving the challenge and finding ways to improve and get better. And, you know, there's no time to sit down and feel sorry for yourself, especially when you get to play, you know, a game. And, you know, we get to play this game called football, and it gives back so much, and you can't dwell on the past. You gotta focus on what you're doing in the present and you know, respect the game and respect your opponent and just get back to work. And so, you know, I'd say it comes from the culture that we're trying to build here and what we're trying to do.
Well said, James. Very well said. So now you move into this Washington State game. You mentioned it briefly. Washington State has put together three wins, beating Cal, Oregon State, and Stanford last weekend. And they are in a really interesting situation where it's feeling like they're going to have a head coaching change. At least, Scotty, that's how it felt this morning. I don't know if you've seen any updates on that, but
I have not.
It looks like Washington State might be having a coaching change, and they're going to be going through a lot of distracting stuff. But still, they're playing some very good football. James, what are you expecting from Washington State as you guys travel to Pullman?
Yeah, well, I just got done watching a couple of their games. And I've, you know, watched some of the cut-ups they sent out to us. I like a lot of other people, have already gotten started on them. And, you know, just first impressions of that defense, I think they do a good job. I think they fly around. I think they're sound. And those guys play hard and get where they're supposed to be. I think they do, they play with a lot of movement. The guys are running around and playing fast and they have a physical style to their play. So, you know, I think defensively they look pretty good up front, and, you know, we'll definitely have, you know, our hands full this week. I think they're a good opponent, and we got to work our butts off to get back in our groove and get going.
So based on the no excuses, no complaints or anything along those lines, I kind of imagine how you're going to answer this is in it doesn't matter. But you played a few straight afternoon games. It was just announced that your game coming up against Virginia, the Bronco Mendenhall game, will be at 8:15 p.m. So does that matter to you? Do you prefer early afternoon games? Do you like nights underneath night games underneath the lights, or does it not really matter to you what time you play?
Well, the short answer is I don't think it matters very much what time you play. I think you got to be ready no matter what, because that's obviously something that, you know, you don't have any control over. In my time here, we've had a lot of night games, and so those are fun. But I think it's really fun to get, you know, with the sun out still out to be able to play a football game and just wake up and head straight to the stadium and be ready to go. So, you know. Any time is a good time for football. That's what I say.
There you go. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Just about any time, man. Anytime you could throw some pads on and go out there and punch each other, it's a good time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, what level of confidence or energy have the Nacua brothers brought to the locker room?
Oh, man, those guys are a blast, man. If you could just hang out with them for 20 minutes, you'd be smiling and have a great rest of your day. Those guys are awesome. They bring a lot of energy. They bring a lot of juice. Both Samson and Puka, and man, you saw how Puka played Saturday, man. That dude went off, and you know, it's exciting to see both of them playing so well. And I just, you know, I'm glad that they, you know, chose to come here together, and you know, it's just awesome to have them on our team.
Who are the leaders on this team? I mean, I think you probably consider yourself, but, you know, when there's a little adversity, who are the guys speaking up and saying, okay, this is what we got to do to get things right?
You know, there's a lot of guys, and I think, you know, credit to our team and credit to the coaches and developing leaders. There's a lot of leaders on this team, and, you know, a lot of people that bring a lot of perspective and leadership to what we do. You know, Jaren and Baylor, they're great leaders. Tyler's a great leader. You know, they're doing some good defensively. There's a whole bunch of guys. You know, offensively, Neil's a great leader. You know, lots of people are able to contribute, you know, a lot to what we're doing. And, you know, there's lots of guys on the D-line that speak up and voice up. And I think they've done a good job at trying to, you know, develop leaders, and we got guys that are just, you know, care a lot and care a lot about the team, care a lot about what we're doing. And so you could look at a lot of guys that, you know, who's a good leader and who's not. And, you know, those linebackers, they lead in their way, and, you know, everybody does their part, I'd say. And so yeah, that's lots of people, man. And it's a credit to everybody.
Hey, James, I'm just interested to kind of hear how a road trip goes for you guys as you guys get ready to head to Pullman, and also allow these BYU football fans and college football fans that listen into the show kind of into how these road trips work. But you guys, essentially, you fly into Pullman the day before the game, correct? And then is it just – it's basically meetings and food. Is it still just a ton of meetings, film work, walkthroughs, and food? Is there anything else that I'm really missing on these road trips for you guys as you go out?
Yeah, so usually we'll come into the facility early in the morning and get, you know, prepare and have, you know, some meetings, some film – walkthroughs and you know, all that stuff. So we'll come in and then we'll go straight to the airport, hop on a plane and fly to where we're going. And there's, you know, usually we have some time to chill, and there's a little bit of football mixed in. And then in the morning, it's, you know, eat breakfast and then go get some meetings, prepare, and then, you know, just depending on when the game is, there'll be some time to relax, and then you can prepare a little bit more personally, you know, watch a little bit of film and do some of that. And then, you know, you're just off to the race after that. So it's, I think, and by the way, our staff is awesome. All the people that, you know, help us with transport and, you know, the people that go early and set everything up for us, you know, at the hotel and all that stuff, they do such a good job. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, give them credit, because that's the stuff that nobody ever sees. But, you know, it's traveling's a lot of fun. You get to, you know, go out with your boys and hop on a plane and go play football. So,
you know, that's interesting bringing that up, because it's one thing I didn't really appreciate until I started doing the Utah State stuff, is the army of people that are needed to make a football team go.
And it's crazy.
The trucks and the support staff. And I mean, it
the amount of work that
the amount of work
in.
to put on one football game and get you guys ready and get the equipment there and make sure the jerseys look good and everybody's ready to go, so you guys can go out there and do your thing out on the field. I mean, I'm glad you give them a shout out, because I mean, it takes an army to get you guys playing football.
Yeah, it sure does, and they do a great job, man, and in all aspects, you know, the people we have on our staff everywhere, they do a great job, and we're so blessed to have them.
Well, James, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to catching up with you next week, and go get that W against Washington State, okay?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good luck, James.
There's the man himself, James Empey, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Well, you know, one of the toughest questions that I had to throw at him was the run game situation in this game. And it's kind of tough to go back and look at this BYU-Baylor game and see 67 yards rushing and have a – and it was a it was one of the first drives in the second half where Jaren Hall pulled the ball off of a zone read and took a keeper – 56 yards for a touchdown to make it 17-14 at that point. And you take that 56 yards and you throw it into the mix, and BYU still netted 67 yards on the ground.
That's not good, Bob.
It is almost breathtaking to think that BYU, with Tyler Allgeier, Lopini Katoa, and Jaren Hall, a very good backfield, and an offensive line that has been praised for their ability to lock up, create seams, create lanes, get upfield blocks, and potentially break some big ones. You know, BYU coming into this game, Scotty, was averaging nearly 170 yards a game on the ground. Averaging 170 yards on the ground. It's not as much as people might have thought, because you've got Tyler Allgeier in there and you're thinking, well, Tyler's a really good back. But they were averaging nearly 170 yards. We did talk about Baylor's rushing defense. They were giving up about 150 yards a game. But to come out of this game with 67 yards is one of the things I look at and think, just unacceptable.
No.
That can't work. It won't work. And I'm sure that everybody in that coaching staff meeting room and everybody in their position groups will look at this and say, we can't have this happen to us again. And I'm sure that Jeff Grimes helped the Baylor defensive side put together some stuff to stop up rushing lanes and force BYU to pass the ball. And you saw some of those heaves up to Puka Nacua where he just got underneath it and got it because he wasn't bracketed. You didn't have a second safety up top. And you had some of those big passes down the field. So you know Baylor was bringing in run support, but it's still unacceptable. And I promise you, if I'm a coach and I'm listening to some idiot on the radio say, oh, that's unacceptable, in my mind I'm thinking, hey, you know what's unacceptable is for you to think you know what Baylor was doing. I saw what Baylor was doing. I know that they came in to support run stop, and I know that they put together a very good defensive plan, but I still think that there is a responsibility to force it. And And again, it's, well, oh, so you're going to force it into no openings? Well, we've seen BYU force into run stop. They've got big, powerful offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They can move the football on the ground. And I think that it really took the wind out of them. And I don't know what – I have not heard anything about Lopina Kato. I don't know if he wasn't available, and I don't know if Algier isn't feeling good. And those might be two reasons. Maybe your backs just weren't up for the task of really pounding the rock. But that's a pretty brutal number, Scotty.
Yeah, it's no bueno, considering how good BYU had been running the football. Mm-hmm. Well, and we can get into this a little bit later on. I do want – and I always want to be careful about this because, you know, it's really easy for us to hop on the air and be like, this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong. But I do want to get your thoughts as to whether or not BYU did abandon the run too soon.
Okay. I think, yes. I feel like BYU could have continued to push the issue. That's how I feel. And I feel like, by vacating it, I feel like it created a lot of drive issues, a lot of problems, not being able to get yourself into a second and manageable, and then having multiple big down and distances and just relying on that pass game. But yeah, I just don't think there's any way, just looking at what Baylor was doing and looking at the flow of the game and looking at what BYU does well, I just don't think there's any way. You only have 15 carries for your running back at BYU. Only 15 carries.
Yeah.
And what's really difficult is to swallow the pill on the other side, where you had 38 carries between the two Baylor running backs. Well, Abram Smith and Treston Ibner had a total of 38 carries, and they ended up putting up 303 yards. About 280 of that came from Smith and Ebner, the two running backs.
The store up in Ogden?
Yeah. Fine jewelry.
Smith and Ebner.
For all.
Smith and Ebner, country boy store.
We broadcast from there before.
We did once, yeah. And
I got everything.
We may have said some things, and we have not been invited back.
They found out you bought a...
that's not important. That was 20-some-odd years ago.
But that's a really tough pill to swallow. And you started out the conversation with James Impey as, hey, learned a lot about Big 12 play, and Baylor came out and did to BYU what I really wish BYU could have done to Baylor.
Yes. Yep.
And then that's the other thing that frustrates me. 303 yards on the ground. And by the way, I've got listed here on my notes. I've got listed here four drives by Baylor that were as systematic. And these rushing, I know that Smith had a 38-yard run and Ebner had a 37-yard run. But outside of those runs, you know, you're talking 8, 7, 10, 5, 8. And you're talking being in second and third multiple times. And then you're talking about BYU's defense being like, well, we got to stop this. And Baylor did a really good job of recognizing those coverages and saying, all right, we see what you're doing. I was impressed by Baylor, man.
Yeah, I really was too. All right, Hans and Scotty, 1026. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. As we're going to chat with our good friend Andrew Reinhart from Wasatch Medical here in a moment.
I did want to mention, too, Bohannon, the quarterback for Baylor, 18 of 28 for 231 yards. What's really tough to swallow is that Baylor put up 534 total yards. It's not like Baylor said, well, all we can do and all we're going to do is run. Baylor had some huge conversions. You know, they were 7 of 15 on third downs, and they were 2 of 4 on fourth downs. But that 7 of 15, I think, largely came in the second half of that game when they really needed it.
Joining us now, Andrew Reinhart from Wasatch Medical on a Monday. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Fantastic, buddy.
Man, it's good to hear your voice again. And I know there's a lot of guys out there that are excited to hear your voice because they've been waiting to make that phone call. There's some guys struggling in the bedroom, and you're here to help them out.
We are, and we have helped so many men. The worst thing you can do if you're struggling with ED, erectile dysfunction, is nothing. And 70% of men do nothing, just kind of live with it. Wasatch Medical, we have a major medical breakthrough. The Cleveland Clinic, one of the largest hospitals in America, just tested our technology on men with erectile dysfunction. And here's what they said. Clinical and statistical increase in blood flow. That is so cool. It's treating the root cause problem of the ED. There's no chemicals involved. We're talking about better performance, more performance, and no more pills in the bedroom.
801-901-8000. That's the number to call right now. And one thing we always love when you call in is that you you make it worth the time, too. There's always a lot of free here.
There is a lot of free and more today. If you're ready to treat the root cause problem of the erectile dysfunction, get the love life back to what it was. Give us a call. You'll meet with our MD free. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound free. You'll get the gift. I don't think I've ever heard of it failing. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. And if you're like so many men, a little low in the tank, blood work and testosterone is totally free today as well.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now. 801-901-8000 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. It's another Pac-12 road trip for Utah as Kyle Whittingham and the Utes head to the Pacific Northwest to battle Oregon State in Corvallis. Catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 4:30 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. By the way, voice is still a little hashed. It's a long weekend.
You know,
I don't know if anybody, anybody listened to the Morning After podcast. Based on the numbers, you didn't.
So. That's fine. We're not going to force anybody.
No, I'm getting pretty close to doing that. I just I just drove back from Vegas. Got home about 5:30 in the morning. Slept for about an hour and a half. Then we're up and doing the podcast. You had gotten about probably what, 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, and somebody saying it sounded like I had a Campbell's soup can tied to a string that connected into whatever great equipment that you've got. I don't appreciate that. I'm doing the best I can. I don't appreciate you saying that I've got a Campbell's soup phone.
I didn't say that.
Somebody did. You and I are watching. Well, I was just showing you some of the different highlights here.
Yeah.
There's always a tough thing as a football analyst. It's always a really tough thing to just have to come forward and flat out admit that a team got beat physically. And I question everything. I question James Impey's overall health. I question that offensive line's health. I told you there's just not a lot of depth for this BYU offensive line. And because of that, you've got a couple of young guys, one at a tackle position, one at a guard position, that they're doing the best they can. They really are. They're just not there yet. And I'm watching film of both those guys getting beat pretty well. This offensive line for BYU did not have even close to their best game. And I'm showing you where, you know, you've got a guy that's on a, what was that, a 3rd and 3 I just showed you?
Yes. Yep.
3rd and 3. Baylor goes with a 6-man box. They brought a strong safety down for backside help. And one guy gets beat across his face and pushed about 4 yards deep, which stops the running lane. And then the backside guard gets beat across his face by a defender, by a defensive tackle that makes the tackle just at the line of scrimmage on a 3rd and 3. This wasn't Baylor saying, okay, 3rd and 3, we know it. Here comes bare front. We're going to put 5 down. We're bringing 2 linebackers, and then we're bringing strong safety support. It's an 8-man box, and we're going to pound this thing into the – it was like, 3rd and 3, they've got good targets. Let's keep our zones back. We'll press on the corners, and everybody fill your lanes and do your job. And that's what they did. They just filled their lanes and did their job. And that BYU offensive line that we saw move Utah out of gaps – we saw them move Arizona State out of gaps. They got pushed into gaps. And Baylor fought into gaps. And they did a really good job. Sometimes you just have to give it to the other team.
All right. Okay. And I agree with you 100% on that. However, this is my concern a little bit for BYU, is how great they looked against Arizona State, how great they looked against Utah. And now this is back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Where they've been a little bit manhandled at the line of scrimmage.
And
a little bit against Boise, a lot against Baylor.
And it is also back-to-back games that you're without your starting tackle and your center is banged up. I think that James Impey is out there doing his absolute best with whatever he's dealing with. And he's still doing good, but he is not the All-American, he's not the unanimous All-American that he was in the first 5 games. And we know he went out. He missed a game with injury. I don't remember which game it was. Was it Utah State?
Yes.
He missed a game with injury, and that caused me concern for him, and because that's the leader of that offensive line. And he's still grading out okay, but this is not the guy that I've seen in those first 4 games. So I'm hoping that he can continue to recover all the while having to practice and playing in these games. It's really tough, but this is by far the worst I've seen BYU's offensive front do. And like I mentioned, you're without a senior guard, you're without a veteran tackle, you're with a banged-up center that I think is playing because the guard is out and you've got to use who was playing the center position at that guard position.
Yep.
And I'm not in the business of making excuses. You know that.
No, I know.
I'm not sitting here trying to make an excuse.
But it's worth an explanation.
I'm just trying to paint the picture of an explanation. So BYU fans understand, well, when they look and they see 66 yards rushing, and they're like, well, why? How? Well, the offensive line didn't have their best game. And Baylor had one of their best games with their defensive front. They were fighting through pressures, and they were causing havoc. And they were making big plays. And they were the better team.
So now BYU's got Washington State, and don't look now, but Washington State's actually turned in a little bit of a decent season. Even with all the weird stuff going on with their coach, Washington State has won 3 in a row after losing 3 out of their first 4, first to Utah State, then got pummeled by USC. Utah beat them 24-13. They've now beaten Cal. They've upset Oregon State. And then they just beat Stanford. And now this team is 4-3 on the season with BYU coming into town.
They're currently on the same type of run that Utah's on.
Correct.
Now, they're not undefeated in conference play like Utah, but they're on the same type of run. And the last team they lost to?
Was Utah.
That is correct. And after they lost to Utah, when I went back and watched the game, I was like, geez, this is a really bad team.
Yeah.
Poorly coached. Bad execution. Didn't play hard. And I was glad to see Utah get a win because they needed a win. But I wasn't impressed by Washington State. But here they are. And I think that Stanford started that game. I could be way off on this because I was busy throughout the entire day. But if I remember right, if I recall correctly, Stanford had like a 14 or a 17-point lead on Washington State in the first half, I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. And then Washington State pulled off a Utah State Aggie-like comeback.
Correct.
And so you can't let your guard down against Washington State.
Now, even though Washington State didn't look good against Utah, I think they had a lead going into the fourth quarter, didn't they? Until Utah was able to finally pull away.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so to your question, every once in a while you ask me a question and it's like, geez, man, I hesitate to answer the question because I'm not the coordinator. I didn't go into the film study. I'm not fully involved in this BYU-Baylor game. And you asked me the question, did they vacate the run too early? And I'm just seeing bits of evidence to me that says yes. I think that there were a couple stops early. That stop I just showed you on 3rd and 3, that was in the first quarter. That was, I think, the first offensive drive, actually, that BYU had. Well, one of the later drives, it's the first offensive drive in the second quarter. So, you know, it might be your third offensive drive, third or fourth. So you are in a 2nd and 10 situation, and Baylor's got a 6-man box, and they are pushed back in coverages. And instead of getting yourself potentially to a 3rd and you would hope to a 3rd and 5 or a 3rd and 4 by running the ball with some level of confidence. And I'm not one to question a coordinator on what play call that they want to call on a 2nd and 10. Mm-hmm. But I think in a lot of settings, when you're trying to throw punches and Baylor's throwing punches, and maybe at that point you already felt like, okay, well, we've got some plays that we can run based off of this setting. Instead of throwing a punch and letting them feel it a little bit, you run a bootleg and a drop-off to Isaac Rex, which it's a beautiful play, and it got him 3 yards, but it's not that punishing. Well, you punched us. We're going to punch you. Mm-hmm. That is more of a, all right, well, let's give our offensive line a break and get a little misdirection going. Let's bootleg our quarterback, and we'll drop this off to our great tight end. I'm fine with the play, but that also could have been an opportunity to throw a punch and let Algier come downhill or Katoa come downhill and say, no, this is not how we're going to go out. And I know that that's just a small sample size, and you can hear it in my voice because I've been in these game plans, and I've been on an offensive front, and I've been more in tune why a coordinator called a play. And there are a lot of things that I can't see on the field. Maybe he's got the concerns with his offensive lines that's banged up, or he didn't feel like you could get a reach block, or he felt like a certain defensive lineman was torching him in an area and felt like that lane was closed down. I don't know. He could have felt like he could have seen the safety's depth and saying, no, safety's still going to fire downhill and try to spill this thing back inside. He knows that, but what I'm telling you, Scotty, to answer your question, I have to just tell you, yeah, I see opportunities that could have been run opportunities that were not taken. So, yeah, I think you might have gone away from the run just a little bit too much and a little bit too soon.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. A lot to break down on the show today. Clark Phillips, Utah defensive back, is going to join us coming up at 12:05. You'll hear the press conferences with Kyle Whittingham as well as Kalani Sitake coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's a busy Monday, as it is every Monday during the football season, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Eric Walden, Jazz beat writer for the Salt Lake Tribune.
Jazz had a great season last year, and it sucked the way it ended for Jazz fans, obviously. But they were still a great team. On paper, I think they're better. Fair or foul?
I agree with that. I do feel like on paper, they've addressed a lot of the issues that really hurt them in that Clippers series. Theoretically, the Jazz are a lot deeper. They're a little more matchup proof. I think if we're saying what's the ideal version of this team, they're probably missing another lengthy wing capable of defending and switching and hitting some threes, but those guys don't grow on trees. They should be good. They should be improved. They should be capable of winning or at least competing for a championship this year. So I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Oh, man. I got to vent to you during the break.
Sorry. It's about the Broncos?
Oh, no, no. No, I'm in the acceptance stage on that.
Can I vent to you about the Browns?
Your Browns.
So
no bueno.
Okay, so what you talked about last week happened this week. The officials, hold on, I gotta pull this box score.
We know you're in fan mode right now if you're complaining about officials.
Hold on. I'm not even kidding with you. The officials gave this game to Arizona.
Yeah. Welcome to fandom.
A 37-14 blowout?
The officials Hatch gave this game.
Oh, I don't know if I like this side of you or not.
9 flags for 88 yards. Every one of them.
How many flags?
9.
9 flags.
9 flags for 88 yards. Oh, and that's funny. Arizona only had 5?
Yeah, you lost that game 37-14.
I have one suggestion. Don't leave DeAndre Hopkins wide open in the back of the end zone.
Did they forget he was on the field and that he's a pretty good receiver?
Seemed that way.
Oh, so frustrating, man. Really, the officials did absolutely sway the way this game would go. Felt like every time Cleveland got any type of useful gain offensively, there was a holding or some issue. And they were throwing flags on Cleveland when there were no penalties.
Is this like, I mean, what? I know BYU fans are a little salty because Baylor came out of that game completely flagless. 0 penalties against Baylor.
I know, which is ridiculous.
You know, there's a penalty out there on every play. Come on.
There's got to be somewhere. Yeah. Just look for it. If you wanted to, you could find it did against my Browns.
Against your Browns. Yeah. Which obviously, all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield goes, who is this official? And he rips his mask off and it's Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, and he's like, you guys.
You pesky Browns.
You're all set to make money on this, aren't you? Every one of you. You're in on this. So the Browns right now are just beat up. Kareem Hunt, he ended up leaving the field again with injury. They don't have anybody. Nick Chubb is injured. They don't have anybody to run the ball. And it just put me down for being an Odell Beckham Jr. hater.
I put that down about 5 years ago.
But make sure that I stay in that category.
Yep, I got you. I'm got you.
A couple things don't go his way, and then he's acting like he's got a displaced shoulder on the sideline. And then he goes back out there. Just a couple of terrible moments from Odell Beckham. And okay, Arizona's really good, man.
They're really good.
They're really, yep. really good. And Kyler Murray is a spectacle. But he did, like, there were like 4 or 5 balls that were put on the ground. Bad snaps, mistimed snaps, dropped exchanges. It was really weird. But he got on every single one of them. Not a chance Cleveland was going to recover any one of those.
Officials wouldn't have let that happen anyway.
What happened in the Vegas-Denver game?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
And this has only happened a couple times in my life. It got to halftime, and I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm going to go do something else. My son and I went, played a little Madden, threw the football around a little bit, and we're like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
Did he leave it?
Oh, yeah, he left it too. It was actually his idea. He's like, I don't want to watch this. And I'm like, I'm with you, son. I don't want to watch it either. It's crappy football. And for most of my life, a bad year for Denver was 8-8.
Yeah.
And that era is done because it is one of the most abysmal, poorly run crap shows of a franchise in the NFL.
Easy there, Tiger. Nearly slipped up.
You know, hopefully Lloyd is busy with production all show long so we don't have to hear anything about Vegas. I really don't want to hear anything about them. Nobody does.
It's kind of funny on our staff, though, because we got you as the Broncos fan. We got Lloyd as the Raiders fan. And then DJ's over there as the Chargers fan. We got the AFC West pretty much.
I know.
It's pretty funny.
Boy, how bad did the Chargers stink?
They got bottled up.
I didn't see that one coming. I'm not surprised Baltimore won that game, but I didn't think they would just take the Chargers behind the whooping shed.
Did Tyler Huntley play the entire second half? Were Baltimore at the half?
Really need
like,
to.
Yeah, let's take Lamar out. I'm being facetious.
AFC's so good.
they whooped them.
Yeah. I mean, when Kansas City's down in the dumps, and they're still a great team, and you got Buffalo, and you got the Chargers, and you got Baltimore. I mean, this conference is just fun.
Yeah.
And the NFC's, you know, look, you got the Cowboys that all of a sudden seem like they're a decent team. You got our guy Cooper Kupp and the Rams doing their thing.
The Browns are at the bottom of the AFC North right now. Jeez Louise. Browns are supposed to be a better team than this, but they're not showing it. Did you watch any of that Sunday night football?
I did.
There was a couple of good moments in the game. I mean, look, at least it was entertaining.
Just want a little drama, a little entertainment.
It had plenty of drama.
All right, this What You May Have Missed brought to you by our good friends at Built Bar, whether it's the double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, cherry barcia, or salted caramel. You can enjoy Built Bar, 100% real chocolate, 100% real delicious. Order yours today at Built.com and save 10% off your order using the promo code ZONE at checkout. That is Built Bar. You know what I've found out, too? Take one of those things in your bag right before a game, throw that sucker down, instead of knocking back all the cookies and brownies at the pregame meal.
Yep.
Puts you in a much better place.
It does. It makes a difference. And let's see. Today, I have in my bag a...
Ooh, that's cherry?
Cherry Barcia. It's always fun to just throw something in the bag, and then you get to lunchtime, and you're like, ooh, I've got a cherry Barcia bar. Those Built Bars are so good. They're so convenient. Throw them in the bag, like Scotty mentioned. Take it to work. Have an extra one. It kills that sweet tooth craving. It kills the deep hunger, and you're getting a lot of protein, but you're still getting that creamy milk chocolate.
Gives you a little energy throughout the day. Boom. Let's go. All right. 11 o'clock straight up, Utah with a big win. We'll talk Utah football next right here on the Zone Sports Network.